the book of St. Matthew, chapter 26. I'm not going to explain it tonight, like I did the last 2 Wednesday nights, as a lot of criticism, except in the beginning of what I'm going to say. I'm totally honest with you and everything. And today, as I was listening to this recording, a thought came to my mind, so I could get some fast notes, because it was not what I was going to pick up tonight. But I want to talk to you about the humanity of Jesus Christ. There's nothing like His life, His shed blood, and we wouldn't have life if He had not shed His blood. Now, I'm going to show you, you already are familiar with my ignorance, but I'm going to share a little bit more than my ignorance. I had my wife look it up on Google long ago before the service with a question: where does a baby get its blood? I asked Jim, I asked Linda, and so I had to look it up. Now, on the facts that she found, it was said that the baby gets its blood from the dead. And there is no blood except from the sperm. And that's incorrect. I stand to be corrected. I was glad to find out years and years ago in Stanley had a few babies that half of that blood is mothers and dads. But four of them are his grandpa and grandpa. So I have somewhat to boast that a quarter of them is being made. We're talking about the blood of Jesus. It makes sense that the blood of Jesus was from God. Might be a little arrogant of that in this part. He never knew a man. He had no earthly paternal parentage. He was born of God. God claimed him as his son. Jesus declared, even to the unbelievers, I'm the Son of God. I want you to turn to chapter 26 and verse 28. It says, Jesus said, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. We know that. We believe that. We can quote that. We're not ashamed to testify to that. But if you would give a few moments of consideration, if I would ask you to write down on a piece of paper, what is the substance that you would like to hear preached from this pulpit? You'll get a lot of answers. Great, because they have an interest in us. But I wonder how many of them would be a message of the blood of Jesus. When in reality, I don't know that there would be anything more on the heart of God than the blood of His Son. Without that blood, there would be no church. Without His blood, there would be no saints. Without His blood, there is there. He said, I shed my blood. The point I want to make clear to all is, there is an unsatisfying silence about the blood of Jesus. I've told you this so many times when I was preaching in Christ here in Illinois. I preached one night on the blood of Jesus. I preached on the coming of the Lord. That pastor told me, he said, I probably haven't heard a message on that in 20 years. Well, we can say a lot of good things. And there's a lot of very, very important things that we restored that must be dealt with. But we need to break our silence. We need to call to remembrance the things that we know. Somebody said, well, I want to judge them all the peace with the blood of Jesus. I've heard what the thing that is. So you don't make any money. But even if it's nothing necessarily new to us, He wants us to be reminded continually about this life that we're living, what this life really is. So I begin to think, just quickly to the Lord, it's not the blood of a man that was in the veins of Christ, but the blood of God, but there's something even about the blood being in the veins of Jesus Christ that just doesn't get the job done. For the 33 years that Jesus lived on this earth, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they had the law and the prophets. But Hebrews says that unless there's a death of a testament, there is nothing to the testament. Nothing. Jesus was born with the blood of God the Father in His veins. Now you got to remember some scripture that I'm not bringing it all out. But the life of the flesh is in the blood. Every man born of woman, living in the flesh, his life in the flesh is in the blood. Jesus had a body like my body because Mary gave him a natural birth. The only thing different was the blood in the veins. Think about it. The blood of God in the veins of Jesus, born of Mary, just gave him life in the flesh. That's all I can see. Gave him life in the flesh. John the Apostle said, we touch the Word. You know, in the beginning was the Word of God. The Word of God was made flesh. John said, we touch the Word. We talk with the Word. We have fellowship with the Word. There's a lot of people that try to make you believe that there was a time for the apostles and another time for us. And they base that on this one thing, that they say, I don't know where they get it, it's not in the Bible, but they say that to be an apostle, or for you to understand the ways and the things of God, you have to have known Him in the flesh. I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Holy men of old wrote as they were moved upon by the Spirit. Now, if you add to this book, I've been getting some calls. I preached a message where I brought this out. People from Orange, Fort Arthur, wherever. Right now, with that message, I don't remember what I said. I'll get back to it. Jesus walked in an earthly body. That's it. So I began to think, what about this blood? The disciples tried to get Jesus to build a kingdom. They tried to talk to him again. Will you establish the kingdom? Will you do this and that? But he said, it's not for you to know. You remember that? Yes. It's not for you to know dates, times, and seasons. They wanted something. He was the very one of what they needed. But he didn't come just to set up a kingdom. Man is lost. Man is dead. And the only one that can take away that sin is God the Father. And there's only one way He can do it, and that is to shed the blood of His Son. No man has ever seen God. Now, I will throw this in my personal belief. I believe that when we get to heaven and we see the Father, the Bible says God is the Spirit. But I believe, I can't prove it, but I funny that we would see a visible form. They said he said that form. Think about it. If I'm all trapped in it, I do want you to straighten me out my knees. God is with you. I live in the flesh, I live in the body. So someone is going to have to come in my nature, in my kind. They're going to have to fight the same battles I face. They're going to have to face the same devil I face. And they're going to have to overcome. And there is no overcoming in the flesh. There is no getting rid of sin in the flesh. So someone in my nature and in my kind had to come and take my place. But he didn't have an earthly father. So he did not give his blood from his earthly father that he didn't have. There's no other than one. So the blood is a light. Maybe I didn't think it's true enough. But it's the blood that Jesus said with the blood of his father that would be the blood of God tomorrow. The miracle of miracles. Of this new birth, of what God's done for us, and how He masterfully worked it all around. This is the work of God. That's the reason it is very serious that you do not play with your salvation. You do not play with your redemption. It is a miracle of God. We may not understand everything about it. So what happens? The life of the flesh is in the blood, right? So Jesus shed his blood, right? So what did he do? He gave his body. The life of the flesh is in the blood. At Calvary, when they nailed him to the cross, his blood was shed. His blood was spilled. His death was different from any other day. He told them to go and grab his flesh. You don't take this man. You don't kill him. You can't kill God. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. So what was in him, they couldn't kill him. They couldn't take it. He said, I don't know. I'll leave this body there. He said, I gave my flesh to the crucifixion. I gave my body to the crucifixion. The only reason that he went through that process was the devil still had the key and he wanted it. There's only one way to get those keys. He had to lose his life and go to the habitation of Satan himself and take those keys. He went to the heart of the earth and said to the devil, give me the keys. And he took the key. The devil does not have a key. The devil does not have a clue. He is a liar. He is a liar from the beginning. There is no truth in him. The only thing he can do is lie to you and try to deceive you of that lie. That's all he can do. He is a defeated friend. He's ruined. Jesus said, I'm giving you my body. I'll lay it down. You're not killing me. I'm laying my life down. I'm laying my life down. You'll be speaking for you. And take it to me. What do you say? He said, I'm he that was dead. I'm now alive. And I'm alive forevermore. But what do you say to me? Because I live, you can live. Because I live, you live. Oh, God. What a miracle. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so we live beyond all the things. He died. He can let us in such a time that we have to. If you have the red letter of Jesus, this verse has been read. A red letter of Jesus. The red cross and the white cross. God sent one guy, sent a woman, and saved all of them. Right? He's covered the book of Matthew, and the commentaries will tell you that the book of Matthew was written to the Jews. Have you ever read that? Have you ever heard that? Every one of them is that. So it's written, the book of Matthew, basically, is written to the Jews. Correct? Let's just take it and it's for everyone. But Jesus was in a physical body when he spoke to them. So that means he's speaking to somebody, right? Who's he talking to? Well, we know him and we know him. Jesus and customers. They didn't know. The people that went were at least the religious people of the day. What did they know? They knew this one thing. They knew that there had to be a sacrifice. They fully understood, I believe, I can't prove it, but I believe that Jesus was talking. He understands and he's talking to a religious people that understand the sacrificial system. They understand that the priest would take this innocent sacrifice that he might on the altar take the blood of that sacrifice. They understood what Jesus wants you and I to grasp tonight. As just as the priest took that sacrifice, blood was shed for what? For the atonement, right? Come on now. Why did those animals die? I mean, maybe they had to repeat it every year. That priest had to go in and do this every year, over and over and over and over again. One of the great studies you could ever do in your life. And for about the last 3 years, I've looked into it as much as anything. And that is the word until. U-N-T-I-L. When God was talking about the symbolisms, but every bit of it is until. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, I come to fulfill it. Until Jesus came, you've got this order of slain animals and shed blood. That's what it took. He's talking to these that understood sacrifice, atonement. He's letting them know. I shed my blood once and for all. I shed it once and for all. Look at what he said. My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sin. You don't have to go out and buy a sheep or a lamb or a goat or turn it off on a box. Take it to your home every time. Talk about the sacrifice. You don't have to kill it. Shed its blood. One thing about the Word of God, when they take the life of that sacrifice, he said, you did it all. You used everything. He said, he used my sword. He said, put this in your life. Purpose. Don't you waste any of it. If you don't have one or two in your house, you give it to somebody else. And that sacrifice is your sword. Jesus is talking to people who know about death. I'm not going to go much longer. No, this gets me today. That when the priest got the blood of that sacrifice, and I'm going to say that all the way to God, because I know in the Bible numbers are representative. I was thinking today about the number 8. The number 8 is the number of new beginnings. 7 days in a week, the 8th day is the new beginnings. Pentecost was the number 50. Take 7, 49, and you get to 50. You've got a new beginning. Pentecost. It's a miracle. How God, I wish I could remember the name of the God who wrote that book. I haven't read that book in so many years. I can't even remember the title. a priest would take the blood and go to the altar and sprinkle seven times. And he's going to give you a hand up. Is that number seven, which is the name of God? Six is the number of a man. We can remember in Revelation 13, the number of a man, but it's 666. He would get a sprinkle seven times because it's holy, it's representative of the very God himself. I don't know. But something had to be done with the blood of Jesus also. Remember when Mary, Martha, and all of them go around to the tomb, and the gardener, who they thought was making for them, why think he's living among the dead? I mean, why think he's not here? He's here. He's here. They wanted to touch him, right? In that garden, they saw him. After his resurrection, they saw him. They wanted to touch him. Would Jesus love him, touch him? Yeah. But he gave them a reason. Don't touch me. I've got to ascend to the Father. You know why? In the plan of God, that blood, that redeeming blood, the salvation, had to be presented to the very throne of God. Had to be given to the very throne of God. You won't save by one way, and you by another, and you by something else. It's all that blood. I don't know if I'm being honest with you tonight on some of these things that I'm thinking. But I really believe that I can be proven. Some things I'll let you correct me. But I can be able to convince you that there's no other God than Jehovah. You'll never convince me that Jesus is not God. You'll never convince me of some things, but there are some things that I'm open for correction. But I can't, based on what I told you tonight, which I've never thought of before, never more. I cannot believe you are the way that I have told you to take you correctly. Jesus said, all things that are done through his life, all things are done that the Father may be glorified. Whatever I do, it's the Father's will, not mine. What are you? We take it so for granted. We get mad, we argue, we fuss and we fuse. If anyone could ever really understand what our salvation is, they would never, ever, never, ever leave the house of God. They would never leave the Bible laying somewhere in the house. They would never go dead without prayer. It would mean anything more than to say thank you. Thank you, God. When Charles mentioned that some of his sisters fought with his prayer, I was thinking of Brother Fatimore and Brother Christian. And everybody in here knows what a character he was. He was a character. He was a spirit. It's the first generation. I never knew this privilege of my life. I never knew until after he died that every day, and sometimes every day, sometimes more than a time of day, he wrote her a love note every day. You heard that about President Reagan, but she told me from the culture that she had done. There's nothing pretentious about it. We used to come to these 5 o'clock prayers. Jesus said, and when you got there, you listened. You listened. Because as far as carried, he wouldn't talk to God, he was talking to God. Hear God? And here he is, God. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for giving me this. You just go right down the line. I don't know what you call it. I don't know what you see in the Baptist. we have that faith in us. When you think about people like that, I know in ways, those poor because of puppies, dogs. I knew he was a cowboy. I knew he used to ride the radio. I had a horse that still trained the hoops on my back. Beautiful. I remember those things. But what I remember is the pain. What I remember is the pain. What I remember is those creatures. I'm at least the double human being that is alive. I do not absorb the human. I'm sorry. I'm sitting over here in this chair on Wednesday night. And Brother Colton comes walking down his aisle in a black suit. I never came to know what to do. You know what? Everybody in this church is dressed in black. I didn't see it. I didn't know it. And I wasn't blind. So somebody came up and whispered out what they were supposed to say. Somehow they all got together and dressed in black. It's not that to say this. That there are people that know the Bible, the Word of God in prayer. Every one of us should have that value. The goodness, when they were here in other places, that we tried to do it, and that's what they say. If I don't tell them to do it, I don't pray in this. I don't rely on my neighbor as an extraordinary company. Listen, and St. Louis stood up and began to speak. I never saw him in person, but you did. The McCruisers, Brian McDonald, saw him around, played piano for the, not the piano, but the Dixie McCruisers. I told him, I said, Brother Jim saw the McCruisers. I said, do you know anything about this? He said, oh, yes. He said, yes, I do. I said, well, tell me. He said, almost from the time she gets up in the morning to the time she goes to bed at night, that we go to the baby. I'm going to pray before the Lord for a while that you will remember the Lord. Folks, he's going to tell us. He's going to tell us. Let me close with this. The very time where he took the blood, his strength of life, was a form of judgment. Until that precious blood is before the Father, it's not blood of Christ. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, who you've been. Come and tell your story and sit and tell me. Brother John, you can close your ears for 2 minutes. When a man told me today, he volunteered the information. He's been watching me on television, watching us. So when he went to church, he said, everything that John tells me, I believe. So the only thing is, I just don't understand that. Holy Ghost. I said, because you go to a church, he's not real. He just didn't. He didn't. He went anywhere in the time. Talk about what God did to me this morning. He said, you know that you're out of God, the miracle is in your life. He said, I spent 12 years in prison. He said, my God, you must kill me. He said, I'm trying to. He's going to be the one who can take the time. He's in a wheelchair. He's right here for what? He didn't come to this time. But he said, for 12 years, I studied the Word of God and I applied it. And I said, Lord, everything that's in this book is what I have to do with God. He told me, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to be looking for him. I want you to come. A good place to quit. But we need to be bold. We need to testify, not be afraid. Paul said, it's the power of God in this world. But when you come to someone that doesn't want to hear the blood of Jesus, pray for him. Don't just forget it. Pray for him. You know why? There's a verse of scripture that I don't know. I don't know. But that scripture says, I will glory I was going to my wife said that one night, she saw us in South Carolina, and I got to hear it. I was going to go to South Carolina. And I want to tell you six questions that there is an offense. And we're going to bear it. What we're doing, Jesus will be in the spite of everything. If you are going to stand with your hands and just ask God to take his word tonight and put it in our hearts and to give it to you.